Bill Zito, general manager. He got one done. Sam Bennett, 8 years, $64 million, ain't going anywhere. Had to get that one done first. That was priority number one. No Conn Smythe playoff MVP. No surprise by that one. He felt like, Dave, a few days ago when we had him last week, that he had a chance to get all three of them. And he said, I'm going to use every dollar I have to try to get those guys back. But if we can't, we'll find some more good players. He says, we've had a good track record of guys coming in and playing really well. You think they get Marshawn or Ekblad, both or neither? Because they're going to make more money elsewhere.
Yeah, I think they get both, but that's just me. I don't know what motivates that. You know, Ekblad has said, I bleed for the Panthers. I give him my body for the Panthers.
That is true. How much did they have to drink when they were saying that? What point were they drinking? Were they sober at that point?
This was before the Stanley Cup Finals in Edmonton. And it just brings back tears to my eyes. This was before the South Beach scene and Elbow Room and Fort Lauderdale scene, yeah, and all that. So, and Ekblad would love to come back. The question is, what's the value there? What price tag?
You know, he's only 29 years old.
It's a hard 29, though.
No, I get it. He's been there a long time.
But it's really important. You look at how did they shut down Connor McDavid. Forsling and him were the defensive pairing that would get on the ice every time with him. So Marchand's an interesting one to me because there was a Calais Campbell quality to him. He walked in the room, and all of a sudden he took over the room to some level. The energy that he brought, the fun that he brought.
And then the third line that he put together in the playoffs.
Exactly. With the play, the question then becomes, he's 37. He had three surgeries last offseason that delayed his start. He had the injury when he arrived at the Panthers. I believe it was a concussion that he really didn't play before the playoffs. So at 38, how many years do you give him if you're the Panthers?
Let me ask you. If Toronto gives him, off of what they're reporting, talking about giving him almost $10 million a year, this is it for him. Well, Ekblad, same deal, probably. He wants to get one more contract to get him into his mid to early 30s. It's an interesting one because you very seldom get a chance to three-peat. Most guys never win one, let alone get a chance to three-peat or be part of. You know this team's going to win. You just look at the names on the back of the jerseys. I don't know if they're going to win at all, but they're going to win a lot.
And it's not just winning. It's you're in that team that everybody talks about. You're in South Florida compared to a cold weather place, a lot of them. And you're in a market where, compared to Toronto, and you talk about one of the sub-themes of the after they beat Toronto, and Paul Maurice and Tkachuk were talking about, oh, the pressure on these guys, meaning the Maple Leafs, the pressure on the players.
And it was amazing.
There's none of that here. There's no pressure on
in those Canadian
the media
markets,
here.
Yes.
You know, because the fan, and that gets to the, yes, there's a loud fan base come playoff time, and it's building, but it's not anything comparable to what goes on in Toronto or Edmonton or some of those northern cities that are really hockey towns. And so
tomorrow starts. If they don't sign here, all offers, I'm sure they've already started to come in, right, with the agents. Nobody's waiting. Everybody's got a pretty good idea what everybody's going to offer, who's in the game. I don't think these writers are just talking by coincidence that maybe Toronto's interested in Marchand, and I saw Nashville's interested in Marchand and Ekblad. I'd love to get them both.
How much would you take less to play here is basically what it comes down to, you know, and
well, we always start with no state taxes.
Every team starts with that down here. Well, that has become an issue in hockey. Oh, my God, the Panthers and
how come nobody ever talked about this before?
No, that's what I said.
When did this all start, the no state taxes?
The other thing is there's the exchange rate, too, because they're all paid in American dollars.
I hear Josh Allen bitching about no state, all those taxes he pays up in New York.
What about California?
Oh, it's terrible.
I remember Mike Tannenbaum would constantly talk about no state taxes when he was running the Dolphins. That didn't help them build a winner down here.
It'll be fun getting back these two guys, see what happens, because I think Bill Zito's job gets a lot easier. And if those two don't want to stay, he may not find a Marshawn or Ekblad, but he's going to get some guys that fit in the system. Now, those guys, especially Marshawn, he was unbelievable in some of those games. Unbelievable the way he played.
Did you get the best hockey you're ever going to see out of him? Probably, because he hasn't played. Look, six goals in the finals and some of those moves, and you know, overtime goal, and then a couple goals another game that decided things. But do you expect that at 38 and 39 and 40? And the other thing,
do you expect Sam Bennett to play the way he did in the playoffs?
But he's 28.
He's a lot younger.
So the great thing about the way the Panthers are constructed, Anton Lundell's 23, Seth Jones is 30. They have eight guys between those ages that are signed up for five more years that are their core. You know, that's
that's going to be a lot of winning, man.
Wow. Now,
how about Big Bob? Big Bob's like, what, 36?
36, yeah. But a goalie can play, especially if you stay in shape like him.
And he is
And talk about someone resurrecting, you know, Geno Smith resurrected. We were talking about that a little earlier. Bobrovsky has gone from being not even suiting up for a playoff game. He wasn't the second goalie for the Panthers a few years ago, 4 years ago, to now being the best goalie around.
You brought that up. It's funny what Baker Mayfield. It's great stories, by the way. Baker Mayfield, I thought, was done. Actually, I still remember the story that I thought the receiver that we had down here that we got from, what was his name? Odell Beckham.
Oh, yeah.
Terrible. He's talking about coming and play. I wish they call us. Call us if you're thinking about taking him because he wants to make one more run. Anyway, remember he and his dad saying the stuff, got going about Baker Mayfield. And I mean, I thought, guys aren't going to want to play with him. He's look what he's done. Goes to
great signing by Tampa Bay.
Look at Geno Smith. Goes to Seattle.
Yep.
Just took it over. And got a new contract. Goes with Pete Carroll and is gonna be with the Raiders and then Sam Darnold. I thought Sam Darnold was done. Not once, but twice. Jets. Then he went to Carolina. That didn't work. Goes to Minnesota. By the way, got more weapons than any one team should have there. They got great receivers on the outside. Maybe the best receiver in football. Second best, maybe. And those guys get their careers going again in a big way.
I remember covering an early Super Bowl when I was – and Bill Walsh was being interviewed, and he said, organizations make quarterbacks. I had no idea what he meant at the time, but now you look at all those guys you just mentioned, Mayfield, Darnold – And Geno Smith started with terrible organizations.
Right.
Cleveland, the Jets. And what happened when they got to good organizations? Look, okay, now with Bobrovsky, and I've talked to Paul Maurice about this. What changed? What changed with him? And Paul Maurice was really interested. Remember, the Panthers used to be a run-and-gun team where we want 10 goals. Remember, the crowds would chant that.
Terrible defense in front of them.
Which is fun, but unless you're the goalie. And so all of a sudden, you put in a defensive system, and the confidence comes back to the goalie. And that. So systems matter to players' careers in ways that we don't really see at the time.
I think Dan Marino would admit his situation was a hell of a lot better than a lot of those other guys when he got here.
Oh, he stepped into it with talent.
He just had a bunch of veteran guys, and they had these two young guys that came in just about time he did. One guy was in his draft class, Mark Clayton, and Duke was here for a year or two. But those guys all, along with Nat and Durio, that was and Jimmy, that was a –
the example of systems mattering I use always is Zach Thomas and John Offerdahl. John Offerdahl played in a 3-4, was taking on 300-pound guards every play, and at some 5-6 years in, his body wore down. And Zach, you know, playing behind in a 4-3 system behind two big defensive it allowed his great athleticism and smarts to play 10, 11, 12 years in
the league. Big Tim Bowen's a different animal, but Daryl Gardner – the big man next to him, they had some great defenses. Marlins, a nice seven-game winning streak, biggest, longest in baseball right now, and getting set now to have today off before four games with Minnesota and then three games, including 4th of July with the Milwaukee Brewers. So talked a little bit about this last week. You've been around. You're an old baseball guy. You're not one of these young guys, I don't like baseball, so. Or one, even worse, the one, nobody likes baseball, Joe. Okay. So they're playing their ass off. This is actually a fun team. They are. This manager's done a great job. He has done a great job. They
He's very
play
upbeat.
Hard.
He's very upbeat. And
by the way, even when they lose, they very seldom get their butts kicked. And they have had a ton of comeback wins against some good teams. Against some good teams. So I have said this more than once. I am just worried at this point. Sandy Alcantara is going to be gone here soon, most likely. He's going to get traded, especially he keeps pitching well. He's got everything set up. If he's back, he's throwing hard. He's throwing close to 100 miles an hour again. He's got the great stuff coming back. He looks sharper every time he throws. And he has got a real friendly contract right now for a team to pick up that really needs starting pitching. Let's be honest. Most of baseball needs good starting pitching. Everybody's looking for guys. So, and you got him pitching better. His value over the next couple weeks, if he continues, is going to be high to go ahead and make a move. And you get a lot back because he is, 27 years old and probably get some good prospects, better than you've even done with some other guys. The problem is, how do you start building up your fan base? How do you get, and can you at this point get your fan base you had for a few years when before all this started back? And I'm going back now. You haven't had a fan base forever.
Well, it starts with winning, right? I mean, not a stretch of seven games. You got to have a season or two of sustained winning. And I assume from obviously – Bendix is from Tampa Bay. That's what they want to do. And you look what Tampa Bay does. They turn over the roster constantly. So you're not
going 10 games to, over 500 without them right now.
And now they have improved so much from the start of the year. Tampa, I was watching a baseball show this weekend. Guys are calling them to be the World Series, go to the World Series from the AL. Again, I mean, they're constantly in the playoffs. And
they got good
constantly
teams most
turning
of the time,
over
yes.
the roster. That's the model.
Low payroll.
That's the model for the Marlins. You know, it's every small market, small financial markets model for in baseball, right? Every team's trying
got,
to do well, that.
We got 5-6 million people stuffed into this one little area called Dade and Broward County.
But it's a small. Look at the TV contract. Look at the.
I get it.
You know, I mean, that's just what baseball is here for whatever reason. And it's hard to when baseball came here. Remember the $3 million right off the bat the first couple years.
And then they go 3 and then 2-4, 2-5. They had some really good years to start with.
So, you know, baseball really swung and missed when they sold the team to Derek Jeter's group and not
terrible miss.
Not the Moss brothers.
I terrible. Mean,
then you have local ownership who would know how to navigate some of the potholes that they've just stepped in. So, yeah. I don't know. Does it ever get out? Does it ever become big, Joe? You got the.
So they've been flirting with. We've been flirting trying to get the number up basically to 1 million fans a year, right? They've been 800,000 fans.
They'll do that if they win, right? The question is, can they win? Remember,
Can you draw 20? You can do the math on this. Can you draw 20,000 a game average?
Yes. Yes.
Dave,
if you're
I don't
winning,
know.
If you're winning.
I know you used do to 20 say this, on the weekends.
We used to say this about the Panthers, 25 years without playing. Hockey's never going to make it. No one ever pay attention.
I did say that.
So right. You got – but the question to me is, can they ever put together a winning – product, and they're not going to spend money. The question is, will a salary cap? Baseball's owners are aiming after next season to have a big fight over the over.
Oh yeah,
salary
it's gonna
cap.
It's gonna get ugly.
Maybe ruin the whole next season.
It may, but they're definitely gonna try to get to that. There is no question about it. They'll try to change that so that
they're just taking on the strongest union in sports, though. So can they get that done? You know.
So I just look at this thing and. They had a great outfield. Woody always reminds, they had the best outfield in baseball not too many years ago. Yelich, Stanton, and Ozuna. Remember those numbers all three guys put up?
Yeah, and they had...
Stanton hit like 60-something home runs out in right field.
And they had Jose Fernandez pitching.
And then nobody going to games.
But they weren't winning. They were exciting.
But you had some guys to watch.
But no, look at... They tried to do this earlier, remember?
So you're
LeVon
telling me
Hernandez
you think
it was a why didn't people come out to watch him specifically?
Nah, it didn't go either. Wayne was not happy.
Yeah.
Like you told me if I got this Cuban pitcher, it was really good, that we were going to, like, people were going to come out to watch him, and they didn't.
So I don't think it'll be a one. The team has to win, and they have to win a sustained.
You know how hard
model.
That's going to be with the amount of
Absolutely.
Money that's being spent in Philadelphia, New York, out of control. Atlanta spends money.
And the Dodgers spend it like nobody.
No, Dodgers are different.
So,
Dodgers.
I mean,
it's like
yeah,
being the Padres and Giants. Padres spend money too, but Giants.
That's why as a fan, they do need a salary cap. And a salary floor in baseball. You can't have teams like the Marlins spending, I think, what was it, $47 million this year?
What size is that check? I've heard different, the check that they receive every year.
$70 million.
Is that what you hear?
I believe it was last year. I mean, it's public. Oh. I believe it was $70 million last year they got. I mean, it's leaked because all the other owners and players union want everybody to know what all these
right.
teams are receiving.
And they're going, stop putting it back in the organization. Right. Spend it on salaries.
And the Marlins say we're spending it on science and
right.
all this stuff. So I will say I thought the Marlins would be closer to the Rockies. The Rockies have 19 wins right now. Marlins have 45. Rockies are not going to – they're already can't get to – they're already have 100 losses this year. Mathematically, they have 100 losses. How it's going to work out. So,
I don't get it. They were playing well for a while, but came down here and beat us three at a low point.
That was the low point. Yeah.
But I got to give, they bounced back, man. Playing a lot better baseball.
I tell you, the Marlins
right now.
Let you ignore them. That's the problem for those long stretches of their season where you had the Panthers going on. Even off-season football seemed to be bigger than Marlins games, and they just allow you to ignore them. Now, normally you step back. I'd be stepping back into the Marlins season, but I'm like, nah, I'm going on vacation. So,
yeah. Well, this is it. I guess we don't even say that anymore. We used to go, well, this is their time to shine. It's a dead time, and the parades are over, and mini camps are over. It's your time to.
But you know,
to
way
take
to, you know, way to get people just what they've done here, where they won 7 games in a row. If they can get a, and I'm not saying they're going to all of a sudden draw crowds,
funny.
But at least people will be talking about them, and that's
they
a
got
start.
A great marketing department. They give away more stuff, have more specials, try to make so it's affordable and people want to go out and see. And if not, come see them. Bring the kids, get them out of the house, let them run around a little bit and watch maybe your favorite team you grew up with and all those things. All right, we got to go to break here. Man, we've hit just about everything. You and I feel like we've done just
It's that time of year where your radar's just looking around at – I watched a couple soccer games in the Marlins yesterday.
I watched Inter-Miami from start to finish. I even watched the introductions yesterday when they came out. I wanted to see the whole Messi thing for introductions. Yeah, Suarez and Messi coming out.
And then you just saw him get dominated in the first half. Wow.
But we were kind of – I saw the guys. We went 2-1, 3-1, and I was like, oh, this is the best team in the world right now. Nobody's playing better than that team they played. Nobody. And the payroll, we have nothing in common. That team spends, what, 200 – I switched over euros to dollars. $230 million. $230 million payroll. Compared to Inter Miami's of $46 million. And we had the old guys that were at once upon a time for Barcelona. I call them the Barcelona gang. all played there and were really good. And also one of the best teams at that
point. I actually looked it up when I was watching the game. PSG has won the Liga one in the French league 8 of the last 10 years and dominating. I think they won. They had like 90 something points and second place was 70 something. I mean, it hasn't been close many
years. So you know what's crazy?
So
they get rid of Mbappe, who's considered to be one of the four or five best players in the world. He's playing for Real Madrid. This guy comes in. He's known to be maybe the best coach in soccer. And they're playing. I mean, they were athletic, fast, unbelievable footwork, play so well, play the system. They could have scored 7 or 8 goals. There's nothing to be ashamed of, man. Inter Miami.
It's what the soccer world expected if PSG is interested in the game. I don't understand this
whole. They seemed pretty interested in the first half.
They did seem pretty interested, yeah. They weren't going to let Messi.
No.
When Inter Miami beat Porto, now that was a big win from Inter Miami. That got the soccer world's attention, and I'm sure PSG said, we're not going to let that happen to us.
Yeah, no. By the way, that was the last MLS team left in the tournament was Inter Miami. So now we're about ready to get back to that, and just how good will they be the rest of the season going back to their league play. It's tomorrow, officially, July 1st.
The Heat free up a little money with Duncan Robinson?
Yes. I don't know how much and who they can get. So you've heard the Jonathan Kuminga name, which I think a lot of teams would be interested in. It's a weird one. He's a Golden State, 22 years old, about 15 points a game. Jimmy Butler came and they knocked him out after coming back from a bad ankle injury. And so then Jimmy Butler's out, and Kuminga actually played pretty well.
He had some good games. Yeah, like 4 big games.
So now, but he's like, hey, no, Jimmy Butler's here. I don't want to be here, man. And Steve Kerr, I don't know how well he handled everything because he's kind of a veteran guy. And so Jonathan Kuminga, I think, openly would like to be traded, and I'm sure they would like to keep him because of his potential upside. I mean, it looks like it'd be a great project for university for the Miami Heat if they wanted to go.
It is.
That
it's
way.
The University of Heat right now, yeah. Because they have so many young guys,
they
right?
Do.
They got a bunch of college eligible age guys.
I just
guys.
Never thought what Pat Riley was going to be here, and he's been here a long time now. That we'd be talking about 6 first round picks.
Yeah, because his point always was, we're not a draft team. We're going to go out. We're going to get veterans. We're going to do free agency. We're going to use our draft picks and trade. That's, you know, during the Big 3 era and beyond, he was always talking about that.
This has been a good place. I know we've been talking about Bill Zito, and he said one thing I take a lot of pride in, all the guys that have come here have really played well, and if they didn't stay, they've been able to go other places and make money. Well, you can say a lot about the Max Struces of the world, too. They went from getting knocked around in this league and Martin and some other guys.
Gabe Vincent. I mean, you go down
another
the list.
Guy. Got a nice contract. Hadn't worked out, but nice contract with the Lakers. But development program, in my opinion, you mentioned where did play better at the end of the year, but didn't go well. Hawkins took 2.5 steps backwards.
You're seeing why a lot of these guys were drafted, you know, late teens. Now they got a guy in the 20 who talk about people being all over the map.
Oh, that guy.
But that's what happens when you draft it at these levels, that there's reasons they weren't drafted, and the development program works on some and doesn't work on others. And
I'm glad you said that about Jakachonis, because you know, you read the stuff and you see Pat Riley's reaction. I mean, he was fist pumping, he stood up, and he was jacked. They're like, this is our guy. Of course, everybody says that in every sport. That's part of the war room.
We didn't expect him to be there.
But then you see the stuff, and like you said, some people really liked him and his upside and shot well early but didn't shoot well late, but they think it was an injury and turns the ball over way too much, but he's a good ball handler and he can really improve on it, make some great passes. But they're like, so you read some people gave him like an A, another gave him a D+.
Yeah, and that's the 20th pick in the draft in
that's
the NBA, right?
Get.
Isn't that because some of those guys go on? Look at Maxey for Philadelphia, which picked 21st, one pick after the Heat.
He's pretty damn good,
and he's really good, you know. But he's
pretty damn good.
You know, once in a while, you get guys like that, and the Heat have got nice contributors. What I would think they hope they have with the last three, four picks are role players to put around someone who's really good when they go out and get that.
Dave, don't you need another guy who can score?
Yes, but this isn't the guy. These aren't the guys typically where you get the stars. And the Heat have to either make a trade or get a big free agent signing or something like to get that number one guy.
You're going to have to give up some.
Yeah, you got to. Are you going to trade Bam or
no.
Tyler Hero?
Nope. Okay. He won't trade either one. I'm asking you. Well, I think those are and where?
I don't think anybody's untouchable at the right price. I mean, for the right person. It would crush them. I don't think they would ever plan ever to trade Bam because he's such a part. But you know,
I think Bam's the kind of player everybody'd want as one of their big three. The problem with Bam, one problem, and it's not his problem. But everybody keeps waiting for him to score 23, 24 points, and that's just not his – his DNA is not that. He's not made up that way, Dave.
Well, just like Tyler Hero's DNA isn't to defend well.
Okay, but, okay,
so what they have –
he gives it the old All-American try a little bit.
Well, I mean, Bam tries to play that's just part of their game. These guys are – they're not two-way players, and that's – the Heat, when you look at any NBA team, when they're great, you got two-way players.
Yeah.
And so I thought Durant would have been a great fit on this team.
I did, too.
You know, he come in, you need a number one scorer, and I saw a stat where Phoenix was 3-17 when he was off the court. They weren't a good team, but they were an awful team without him.
I think they didn't have the draft, the trade equity that
Houston did. There's no way if Houston wanted him, they were going
to
trump that.
I just
that.
Don't think Riley wanted to give
And you look what they trade. I was going to say, you look what they offered. Rozier's contract and
Wiggins.
Wiggins, that's
that was like, you ain't serious about this. You're getting ready to throw, like, we don't all know. This Andrew Wiggins thing to the Lakers. I wonder if that would be. This will be fun. This will be fun to see the trades and the free agency getting ready to start up and see what ends up happening.
And the larger point, Joe, is the East is so wide open right now. The three top teams, they have guys out with Achilles next year in Milwaukee.
And they're going to hit us with that. That's going to come out in Miami. So let me ask you, if they come back basically with this group, oh, we like the upside of Jokic and Ware and Hawkes is going to come back.
Well, they are coming back with it, basically. They might make a move, but it ain't going to be for a number one player right now. I don't think there's a move out there to be made.
But so then you're telling me your biggest improvement on this team is going to be your draft picks, the upside of your draft picks. Bam is Bam. Bam is good. Bam is 18 and 10, 18 and a half, 18 points, 19 points, And Tyler hit almost 24 points a game. That's pretty damn good. Tyler took a big step. That's what you're probably going to get, maybe a little bit more.
So are you happy with that if they come back?
They just need another guy, man.
They need another guy.
If you're serious about
– sometimes that other guy isn't there, though, to be had. And you got to be patient. And this market isn't good for patience. But – again,
he's created it. They're the ones that win all the time. now you're giving us play-in.
And there's the option. You look at Houston. Houston now had all this stuff, all these pieces to trade for Durant. Houston missed the playoffs the previous 4 years. They haven't won a playoff series in 5 years, and they missed the playoffs four of those years.
They had a good
series. That's how the cycle typically works in the NBA, and the Heat have sidestepped that cycle by – look, they got Jimmy Butler when teams didn't want him. When they had no salary cap space and his stock was so low.
Yeah, but you always knew Jimmy Butler's game. Forget the brain. Just his makeup of defending and playing the game the right way.
He never played that way, that level till here. He played good. He's an all-star. But he never carried a team to the NBA Finals twice until he got here.
That's too bad. I mean, it's too bad the thing ended. I've just turned on guy. I just not a fan. He's even ruined it for Golden State for me now. It's got so bad. Seriously. I just,
yeah, Golden State, what they won one series and
was they win one or two?
Do they win two? No, they.
I don't know.
But the point being, if you get Jimmy Butler at that age,
Jimmy played his ass off at Golden State.
He when Seth Curry was there and healthy, they were a pretty good team.
He likes being a number two.
And so much of sports isn't about roles. What's your role?
His role was perfect
yes.
with those guys and what they needed him to do to get him over the top.
But could he carry the heat? I don't think he could anymore.
No, you see, Steph Curry went out. Look what happened. They're all ripping him like he did the same thing. Why didn't you shoot the basketball? How can you be a number one guy and make the money you're making and you don't even shoot the basketball? You know Steph Curry's out. Where do you think the offense is coming from? The fans?
And there's the dilemma the Heat had. Do you give him the money 2 years from now knowing he's already not the player who can carry a team, and 2 years from now he's going to be much less of a player. So that's
desperate to win.
Or do you go through this awful end of season and this offseason of questions that the Heat are. So I think Jimmy, to me, there have to be some absolutes left in sports. And one is you got to honor a contract, especially when it's over $100 million. And he didn't, and he got rewarded
He said he was fine, but he wasn't fine.
The joy. He was missing the joy.
He was missing the joy of what? Not getting the extra year, or that Riley didn't kiss his ass at that press conference when he told him to shut up?
All that would have been forgotten if he got the extra year of his contract. That's all he wanted.
Yeah.